top now. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Are you thankful, church? All my sin and shame, in love you came. You gave amazing grace. Oh, thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for those nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Church, worthy is the Lamb. Oh, seated on the throne. Well, we crown you with many crowns. You reign. High and lifted up now. To him, church. Oh, Jesus, Son of God, you're the treasure of heaven, crucified. Oh, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the
That beautiful. What a lovely thought. Amen. How he paid the price for yours and my sin. Amen. Upon that cross. Man, what amazing grace our Lord has for us. Amen. Are you happy to be here this morning? Amen. Amen. Do you love to worship? Amen. Amen. That's what's near and dear to my heart lately. I love to shout and sing and things like that, but so much craziness in life and just the pressures and the drive to just push and push and move and go and go. And I love the times when I can just come to church and quiet my spirit and just praise my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. That's where my peace is. I hope yours is the same. Amen. We're just happy and delighted to have you all with us today. We had a wonderful time. The marriage meetings that we had and just learned so much about myself. Hopefully we can take those things that we learn and apply them in our lives and be better husbands and wives and just love each other and draw each other closer. Amen. I know that would be pleasing to the Lord. Amen. And I'd just like to continue in that mode of worship today. We have some specials. I don't want to take up too much time. We're just delighted to have Brother Trevor Eadman with us and looking forward to hear what he has to say and what's on his heart. Amen. We'll just sing a few songs before we ask our specials to come forward. Let's sing that song is on my heart. I sing praises to your name, key of G musicians. Amen. Why don't you just sing with me?
I sing praises to your name, oh Lord, praises to your name. Your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, oh Lord, praises to your name, oh Lord, for your name is great. Yeah.
name. Oh, Lord, praises to your name. Oh, Lord, for your name is great and greatly. Oh, could we sing that again, church? Oh, raise your hands and worship now. I sing praises to your name.
Not the key. I'm sorry. Let's try this on a different time. Amen. I apologize for that. Amen. You are God alone. Key of G, musicians.
You are God alone, and from before time began, you were on your throne. You are God alone, and right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. Well, you are God alone from before time began. You were on your throne. You are God alone, and right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You're the only God whose power none can contend. You're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God whose name of anything we can give. You are God, and that's just the way it is. Oh, you are God alone from before time began. You are God. God alone, and right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You're unchangeable. You're unchangeable. unshakable, you're unstoppable, that's what you are. Yes, you're unchangeable, you're unshakable, you're unstoppable, that's what you are. Well, you are God alone. Time began. Yes, you were on your throne. You are God alone right now. In the good times, the bad, you were on your throne. You are God alone. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. That's what you are. You're unchangeable. You're unstoppable. That's who you are. Well, you are God alone. Oh, you are on your throne. You are God.
Humble, doesn't it? Sorry about the wrong key on that song there. We'll try it again some other time. Amen. It's just sounding so nice the way you all praise and worship the Lord. Amen. We're going to change the order of our service at this time, and we're just going to take our special needs to the Lord. I'll ask Brother John James if he would take the needs to the Lord. Amen. If we have some very special needs to remember today. I heard that Sister Karen Buchanan fell, and she's in a lot of pain. If you could remember her in prayer. And also Sister Mary Smith fell, and she gashed her head on a piece of furniture, had to have some stitches and things. She's doing better, but we want to remember her in our prayers. We all know that Brother Keith is definitely needing a touch from the Lord, holding him up in prayer continually. And our dear brother John Harwell, with all that he went through and recovering from that situation, if you'd remember him in your prayers as well. Amen. Sister Anna Pritchard, she is sick today, not feeling well. We'll remember her in her prayers, and always praying for the little baby, Wells, in her prayers. And if you'd remember Sister Sarah and Brother Yeshua, they're not with us today. And also the Drum family. We certainly miss them, and we hold them up in our prayers. And Brother Matt also is not with us. Amen. I have a prayer request here for Sister Karen as well, needing a touch in her body. So if you remember her in prayer as well. Amen. Brother John, if you come on, musicians, you can just play that song softly while Brother John prays. Do you have unspoken prayer requests by the uplifted hands? Amen. Let's pray together.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just count it a real privilege to be in your house today, Lord. So much going on in the world, so much going on in our lives. It's so easy to be distracted, Lord. We just ask for your tender mercies on us today to help us focus on your word and just be fulfilled. We know that we come expecting and we will get a filling, Lord Jesus. And just bless Brother Trevor today when he delivers the word, that it just bolsters our heart, bolsters our faith, gives us strength to make it through the week, Lord Jesus, through the day. Day by day, Lord, your blessings just keep unfolding. Sometimes life gets in the way and we see that these many needs that we have, Lord, that we're a needy people. And you said we would have needs, but if we brought these needs to you, you would take care of them. Maybe not always in the way that we imagine them, Lord, but we just pray that you handle them in the way that you see fit, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. We need you, Lord. And we just ask for the blessing for the rest of this service, Lord. All these people here, in Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Brother John. You can have your seats. Sorry to keep you standing so long. Amen. We're going to have our specials come up. I'd like to ask Sister Leah Britton and Lydia Clayville. I have a special for us today, and we'll just invite them to come and sing a song. Amen. And then we'll have Sister Karen. We'll come up and sing hers. And then after that, Sister Rosie can come and sing her song. Amen.
Sun to rise, and you lay it down to rest. You hold this heart of mine, and you hold my every breath. Such an awesome God, so
faithful and generous. Beautiful song. Thank you, sisters. Sister Karen, if you'd like to make your way, man, we'll have her special at this time.
Mercy I see, though in my
What a beautiful song. I'm so glad he's been so faithful to us throughout the years. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, Sister Rosie, if you'd like. We'll have your special at this time. Amen.
How great.
heart. We appreciate that very much, Sister Rosie. What a beautiful song. Genuinely is a great God. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Give ample time for the word. I'll have our deacons come forward. Then we'll take up the tithes and offerings. Maybe we could sing that song together, The Splendor of the King, How Great is Our God. Amen. Chris Clayville, if you'd lead us in prayer.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful once again for the opportunity to be here. Lord, as we come to this part of the service, Lord, we ask you to be with this part of our worship. Lord, be with the gift, the giver, the intended purpose this morning. Lord, once again, we ask you to be with the minister. Lord, as he brings forth the word, draw us closer to you and just reveal a little bit more of yourself to us this morning. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Sing it with me now. The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. And trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Oh, and age to age he stands, and time is in his hand, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. And the bride and Christ are one, we're uniting time. Come, soon we're going home, soon we're going home. Yes, and how great, oh, is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Of all names now, His name above all names, well, Jesus, worthy of all praise, and my heart will sing how great. Yeah. Sing it again now. Our God, how great, how great. Sing with me, church, how great is our God, and all will see how great.
The Lord. shake hands with somebody this morning, say, God bless you, pilgrim. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Go to current year, if you will. And we're going to pull up something there this morning. God bless you. You may be seated. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Hold on, musicians. We're going to sing again just very briefly. I want to make a couple of announcements here. And just wanted to say we welcome all of you here today, our guests and visitors. Good to have all of you here. We had a wonderful time since Friday night, and appreciate all that was done to make it a special weekend, and appreciate Sister Becky and her work in preparing things, and also wanted to say a special shout out to Sister Rebecca Ivy for her help in decorating on Friday, and an extra special shout out to Sister Simona. She took all of her pictures yesterday, did a great job. They're already out, already released, and then stayed in the afternoon session and cleaned up everything in the fellowship hall, and just very unselfishly gave of herself this weekend. And we appreciate that, Sister Simona. It was a real blessing, and thank you very much. Appreciate Jeremy. That's Jeremy, right? And Jeremy's always on the job, and appreciate him and his crew and videoing and recording everything this weekend as well, and we appreciate that very much. This coming Wednesday, we have a threat of snow here, 90% chance. So if we do not have service, you'll get an email from the deacons, and they'll let you know. But before you venture out, if the weather is bad, we'll probably just postpone that. Brother Diggs is supposed to be here, and we will certainly let you know. We also want to remember Sister Leah's dad, Brother Doucette, had some heart issues in the last 24 hours, and so we want to just remember him in prayer. And we also want to remember Grace Johnson down under in New Zealand, and she sent us a couple of pictures there, and appreciate that. Also, too, I want to appreciate the deacons for letting me know where John James is sitting this morning. And all right. Birthdays and anniversaries, just real quick. Arwen Cockman had a birthday on February 15th. February 17th was Jaron Brown. Jaron, we appreciate you. God bless you. We also, Annie Godwin had her birthday, right? Where's Annie? Annie, how old are you?
Seven
years old. God bless you. Been the best 7 years of Josh and Kristen's life, that's for sure. February 18th is John Cathy's birthday, right? Where's Brother John? He's here somewhere. There he is. God bless you, Brother John. Good to have you with us. February 21st, Jude James. Jude, how old are you going to be, Jude?
17.
Really? God bless you. Wonderful. And February 22nd, Jeremy and Julia Clavell. How many years?
22.
And he went like this, 22 years. That's sort of like somebody tackling marriage like that. And then the Pews have an anniversary as well. How many years?
22.
Really? Are you not related? Good to have you with us. May God bless you on your anniversaries. Now, just wanted to pass along this request. This was Brother Mark and Sister Crystal Akers, who were here visiting with us, and they put in the prayer request yesterday for the flooding that was going on. And this is a field in our area up there in Virginia, and there was such extensive and rapid flooding there. This was a combine. What was it, Mark? Cultivator. And it was in danger of being swept away. And so we prayed yesterday as a group that God would put a hedge around about that. And this morning.
Amen.
So we're thankful for that. Now, yesterday, Anderson went to the North Tow River in near Bakersville, North Carolina, and played at a vigil that they held for some of the victims in Hurricane Helene, right? That was really good of you to do that. And I got a little recording of Anderson playing, and it was devastating to see the pictures and the destruction over there. Now, you can't really see it well, but in the picture of Anderson, in the background there's a chimney. And that was a house where a man was inside the house, and his wife was in the hospital having a heart procedure, and he was in the house by himself. Everything was swept away. They still haven't found the man. And the only thing left is the chimney. And so Sister Rachel took this picture here, and I thought, man, that's just moving. to see that. But we appreciate that, Anderson, for you going and sharing in the vigil there. And I was checking with Jeff about if there's any way we can help the people up there. But he said they're actually in the process of rebuilding and doing what they're supposed to be doing up there. So we're thankful for that. Now, I also wanted to show you this picture. Now, in the past, we have prayed for Theo. Some of you will remember I put his picture up on the board. And this was Theo, 3 years ago? Two years ago on the left-hand picture there. And we showed that picture, and that went around a long way. Had a you have optic nerves that go from your eye and link into your brain. There's a cross that your optic nerves make, and they crisscross each other. And we all have it, and that's why things are reversed when you look in your eye. And they diagnosed Theo with a tumor that completely encased the cross. And it was inoperable, basically, because of the location of it. It's right kind of in the center of things in there. And they discovered that, and they began treatment and so forth. And let me tell you now, that guy's a trooper, and he just never complained, never had anything bad to say, and made friends with everybody he met in the whole process, and was just a real trooper through the whole thing. And on the picture on the right is a real recent picture, right? And he's doing fine, doesn't take any medication, doesn't take any treatment at all, and they've cleared him, and he's just a healthy young fella, and we appreciate that so much. Now, we are honored to have David and Charity here today, and this is Theo's parents. And David, come on up, will you do that? I'm putting you on the spot, but come on up, just real briefly. We just want you to greet the folks here. And David and Charity are special folks to us, and we spent last evening together. And Charity, we've known Charity since she was knee-high to a grasshopper. She is the first baby I ever sprinkled. No, I mean dedicated. That's the way she says it. And we've known the family for a long time, Patty and Brian Yeske, and they were members of our church up in Ohio. And we just had a wonderful time of fellowship last night, and we're honored to have them. They were here for the weekend. And David, just come on and greet the folks for us real briefly here. On behalf of Theo,
the key to that is real briefly. So, God bless you. I was telling Brother Barry and Sister Becky last night just an overwhelming amount of support and prayers for Theo. He was diagnosed pretty much on his third birthday with an inoperable brain tumor, and God was so very gracious and put the right team of doctors around him right from the beginning, and just gave us a real peace that God was going to. See, friends, when you give them to God, God will take care of them. And I can honestly say we were at a complete peace with it, knowing that the plan was bigger than just Theo or even our family, knowing that God had chose to use his little life as a ministry. And we just want to say thank you. Our hearts are full of gratitude, and you can't buy the prayers of a righteous person. Many have tried, but I know there's a lot of people that put Theo and his condition into their prayer life. And those who gave, even financially, we appreciate that. And, Charity, she had quit work and immediately, jumped in as any mother would and just poured herself completely into Theo. And, of course, I missed a lot of work, but I was telling Brother Barry overall, we were blessed enough to not have any real looming medical debts, which is unheard of for a child to be treated for nearly 2 years. And God's been very gracious to us. And Brother Barry and Sister Becky to recognize that need and even to reach out, even though we weren't part of their local assembly, but to recognize that we are all one part of the body of Christ. And so we love you. We appreciate you. And from the Cleveland family to each and every person here for the hospitality of those who took us in their home and fed us last night. And for Brother Barry and Sister Becky, y'all have an outstanding shepherd, and I hope you recognize that. So God bless you. We appreciate you. We look forward to the word. Bless
you. Thank you, Brother David. Appreciate it. All right, last but not least, Brother Jason, he's no stranger to us here. And We wanted him to just come and share a little bit about his experience over the last 2 days. Make it brief.
Keep it brief. No, it was an amazing weekend. Who knew that my wife was different than me?
Yeah.
You know, who knew? But I was just thinking, I don't think we've ever been to a marriage conference thing. No, we haven't. So this was our first, and it was really, really, really good. We've been married, this July 5th, be 28 years, and there was something for everyone, something for the newbies, something for the mid folk, and then we had some that have been married for a lot longer. And but no, there was, I really liked the examples you gave. We were talking about it on the way up this morning. Is y'all remember the doormat? Well, when we came in, I didn't even notice the doormat. My wife was like, "Well, I need to turn that doormat because it's not collecting all the dirt." She thinks differently. And but it's kind of struck home for me, because being married 28 years, if you think about it, just for me, that's just around 30,000 meals that my wife has prepared for me.
Yeah.
Right? And that's not including the kids. And that's Jason math, Ben. So I'm hopefully close. And but we just sometimes forget. And so I've made a point of, you know, after I've had my meal, sit down and say, "Honey, thank you for taking the time to make my meal." Because there's a lot of stuff that goes unnoticed. So there was a lot of, I don't know I'm going to ask this question. How many married couples do we have here today? Put your hand up. How many were there on the weekend? Keep your hand up. Some of you are missing. Don't miss the next one. Because we're going to have one next year. Because Brother Jason got, you know, he got the first session. Then I started to relax. But no, if Brother Barry ever puts this back on again, I encourage everyone to come. It's something that sometimes, yeah, I've been married 28 years. It was good to hear of what I'm doing good. And there are some things that I heard that you know, I need to improve on as a father or as a husband in my household. And I was really thankful for that. So if you do put that on again, I'll be there. I'll be the first to sign up, because there was a lot for everyone. I really enjoyed it.
We do it regularly, about once every 14 years, right? And so we'll certainly let you know. But it was a blessing for sure. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Trevor Eamon needs no introduction around here. He's a friend of the body. And we appreciate him very much being here and participating through the weekend, and then agreed to take the service today. And I just didn't think I'd have enough voice. But we're grateful for him taking that time to minister this morning. How great is our God? Let's sing it again. Jaron, help us out here as we sing. I want to make one mention, Sister Amy Kathy's birthday. We missed it, and it was February 13th. Sister Amy, God bless you. Happy birthday. Let's sing again as we welcome Brother Trevor. How great is our God.
How God.
Let's go ahead and sing that verse.
The splendor of the King, He's clothed in majesty, and all the earth rejoices. All the earth rejoices. He wraps Himself in light. Darkness tries to hide, and it trembles at His voice, trembles at His voice.
Oh, let's praise Him now.
How great, how great is our God.
How great you are, Lord.
Sing me how great. How great is our God.
Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I'm so amazed by him. To say that he is a great God is not even enough. Right? That word isn't even strong enough. It doesn't have the oomph, you know, that it needs to really declare how amazing and great and wonderful he is. And I'm just grateful to be part of the bride of Jesus Christ, to be a son of the living God. Amen. You have your Bibles. We've had some specials and different things, so we'll get right into the Word. We'll turn to Revelation chapter 21. And I want to say we enjoyed the conference last couple of days, even this morning and yesterday afternoon. My wife and I were tweaking things in our marriage. You know, oh yes, I need to do better at that. And you know, she was realizing some things, and I was like, oh, that's wonderful. I'm glad you realized that. And so, you know, like praise the Lord. So it's good, you know. And we're not at 28, but we're almost to 25. August will be our 25th anniversary. So, you know, it's always a process, right? And so with the kingdom of God, right? Like our relationship with God, right? It's a process. And sometimes you don't do it well. And sometimes there's decent lengths of time that you're not doing it well. But that doesn't mean you're not married. That doesn't mean that the love has stopped. Amen? So think about that as we go through this service, that there's sometimes, yes, maybe there's some tweaking that your marriage to Jesus Christ needs. But don't let the devil come and say, you're not married. Amen. You just maybe need to tweak your relationship a little bit. Have a few conversations. Maybe look inside and say, Lord, am I doing this? Do I need to change this? And amen. So anyway, we should get into this. That'll kind of tie in, but amen. Well, praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 21, we'll look at verses 1 through 4. I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. If you would also, one more verse that we want to look at, Luke chapter 17 and verse 21. We want to greet those who are snowed in up north and maybe are streaming in this morning. It is now afternoon. I'll try to change that language. Luke chapter 17, verse 21. It says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. That's our title. This afternoon is the kingdom of God is within you. Shall we go to the Lord in prayer? Father, as we look to the word, as we look to what you're expressing to us, Father, I pray that it would quicken in our hearts, that it would warm our hearts, Father, that it would endear us even deeper into that walk in relationship with you, Father, to recognize how great you are, your glory and your majesty, and Father, your love and your desire for your people. Lord, all that you are trying to express, Father. And I pray, Father, that you would, that our vision, Lord, would be attuned to see all that you are and that you have to say to us. So, Father, bless us now. Anoint this service, Lord, as we give it all to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Just a privilege to be here with you all again. And, really enjoy coming and the relationships we've built with everyone, so and continue to build, and so we love that. And I have been struggling with what to preach this morning because there's probably like 5 to 10 sermons that I'd love to preach. And so I told my wife Wednesday night, we're sitting there pre-service and it's just like so many sermons, so little time. And that's a preacher problem maybe that you would have. But just the Lord really spoke to me last night and said, yeah, this is maybe the direction to head. So that's what we're about. That's what we're going to do. So this sermon, I would like to say that the inspiration for this coming, not only that scriptures that we've just read, but out of the sermon, Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed, that Brother Brennan preached on July 28th of 1963. So that might be a nice 3 or 4 hour sermon for you to listen to throughout the rest of this week if you wanted to take a suggestion on what tape you might want to listen to this week if you were struggling with which one should I listen to this week, because I know that's a problem. It's like there's so many. How do I choose which one? Because I know that we all choose to listen to sermons throughout the week generally as a part of also our daily devotions of reading the Bible and praying because we desire the Word of God. And that's and so it's just hard for a Christian, you know, it's hard to keep a Christian away from the Word of God. So, amen. Maybe some of us can tweak our relationships a little bit too and deepen the communication between us and God. Okay, that was free. Anyway, so Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed, and it's a deep message, and there's really a lot in it, but it shouldn't be deep. It doesn't have to be deep if we just kind of begin to just slowly break things down. What is it that's trying to be said? What is it that's trying to be expressed? What is the thought that is intended to be communicated to us in that sermon? And well, what that sermon is trying to do is to zoom out and give us the thought that God himself is trying to communicate to his people. So it's the expression of God that he's trying to bring out to us. Now, a few quotes as we just set up. You give me some time. There's a few things I want to try to do and merge together here. So we want to set some things up here. But so he begins to say, therefore, the entire Bible is the revelation of God's mystery in Christ. The entire Bible is an expression of one goal that God had, one purpose he wanted to achieve in the entire Bible. Now, that's kind of nice because you can read, you know, how many thousands of pages, and it's like, well, there was so much. Like, what do I focus on? What do I pay attention to? What's the thing for me that I'm supposed to get? But it's all so cohesive that even though there's many little things that you can get out of it, but yet there's one purpose, there's one goal, and what he's trying, and so there's one goal God had, one purpose he wanted to achieve in the entire Bible, and all the acts of the believers in the Bible has been in type, an expressing of what God's great goal is. And now in this last day, he has revealed it and shows it. Yeah. So isn't it great to live in the last day? Amen. Yeah, it's hard and yet there's all kinds of stuff. But yet in the last day, we're now recipients of the message that is able to show us the whole point of everything throughout all the ages that God wrote down in the Bible. We're able to zoom out and see the whole picture, the whole goal. And so we're not in darkness anymore. Now we can go, oh, I get it now. I'm not just doing these things, but now I see the whole purpose of God for my life. I see the whole purpose of God. What's the book of Esther about? Well, there's one thing it's about. What's the book of Nehemiah about? Well, there's one thing it's about. What's the book of Psalms about? Well, there's one thing it's about. And God is trying to express this one thing through all these varying stories and all these varying types. And so what's wonderful about it is you can see the trees and the forest.
Amen.
Right? Yeah. Maybe you recognize, you know, can't see the forest for the trees. You know, some people can't see the trees for the forest. You know, but we get both. We can dive in and see individual details and down to the detail of the spines in the leaf on the trees of the forest. But yet God has also given us the ability to zoom out to see the entire forest in its beauty and in its glory, that all of these down to the spine on the leaf matters to that whole forest.
Yeah.
And we can dive in and out and see all of the wonders of it. So now he says in the last day, he has revealed it and shows it. And a little further, he says, so many people take a confession and say, it's got to this place now. Are you a Christian? I'm Methodist. I mean, this is very familiar message language, right? Well, that's a long ways from making yourself known as a Christian. Well, look at what the Methodist does. I'm Baptist. Look at what the Baptist does. I'm Catholic. Look what they do. See? Now we pause. Now we update our language to 2025. I'm message. Okay, look what the message does. Okay? But that's not it. But the only way that you can actually be a Christian is for Christ to identify himself in you. How we got some, ooh, a stinger there. He says, I hope everybody on the tape gets that too. So when you listen to it later, you can be one of those people. So then later, he says, God then, before the foundation of the world, before he ever created anything, he had a plan. And he says it's in the back part of his mind. So you know how that is. You know, you've got, you know, it's like, it's not necessarily for you. You've just like, I know there's this goal I want to achieve, right? I'm trying to do this thing. And maybe even to yourself, you haven't even realized the whole thing. Now, this isn't about God, but just so that you can, you know, we want to try to relate to God as much as we can. So you've kind of got this idea in the back part of your mind, and you haven't even brought it to the front part where there's clarity there yet of what exactly it is. But you know there's something back there. It's like, I want to. There's this thing, and I'm trying to do that. And so these are the things I'm trying to do, and I'm clarifying as I go how these things are working. So God, in the back part of his mind, he's got this idea. Now, he's got the clarity already there because he's God, right? And so, but he's got in the back part of his mind, he's got this idea, this one central theme that he wants to get out. And so Brother Branham tells us now, and it was a threefold plan. He says, now first, to express himself completely, God in Christ. Second, to have the preeminences that by this in his church, which is in his body, the bride, till he could have the preeminence to express himself through them. And thirdly, to restore the kingdom to its rightful position that fell by sin, the first Adam, back to where he walked in the cool of the evening with his people, talked with them, and fellowshiped with them. So first, he wants to express himself completely. We're going to focus on completely there. He wants to express himself completely. And then he says, God in Christ. So if I read that sentence, I'm going to say, okay, God wants to express himself completely, and the point at which he achieves the complete expression is God in Christ. Now that's just how I understand that, right? Like, so he wants to express himself completely, God in Christ, second, to have preeminences in the body of his believers. So when God, he's going to express himself in Christ, Jesus is going to die, raise again, and then pour himself out on the believers in the form of the Holy Spirit, which means that you, as a believer then, would have part of Christ inside of you. So if God is continuing to express himself completely in Christ, he is continuing to do that in the body of his believers. So that's why he can say that to be a Christian is for Christ to have identified himself in you. Amen. Okay? Are we together? We're trying to take a deep concept, and we're going to try to make it very applicable to our lives. So have we had coffee?
Yeah.
Okay, we're good?
Yeah.
Everybody's, okay, great. So that's a very Brother Barry thing to do. We're good. So I've been learning. So, okay. So, and then to restore the kingdom. Now, we read Revelation chapter 21. And what was it? Well, I love that. You know, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. And there's no dying. There's no crying. There's not, all of these things are gone. Why? Because the tabernacle of God is with man. It's because man and Christ are now together. And if I'm together with Christ, there can be no death. There can be no crying. Because to be with him is for that to not be possible at all.
And so that's the whole idea then. Now we've got a threefold plan that God wants to express himself completely in Christ to then live inside of his believers and so that they could grow and have, he would have preeminence in their own lives, so they grow in this character. And then when after they grow in character, now they're going to come and he's going to come down and live with them in a city that he has prepared for them to live it with them for all of eternity. So God, so here's now we see the whole picture. The whole forest is before us. And so then we can find, well, where am I in this forest? And what's the whole point here? And now I can see this, but what does that mean for me? Who am I in Christ? Okay, so that's kind of what we're going to do. Now, so to begin to look at that now, we want to, oh, notes, don't go doing that. Okay, good, praise the Lord. Whoo, screen just went black. All right, that's why paper can be better sometimes. Okay, John chapter 13, if you would. So we'll start at verse 33 of John chapter 13, and then we're going to continue the story into John 14 as well. So John chapter 13, before I begin this, I want to put a thought in your mind so that it can just begin to marinate just a little bit. So I want to ask you, And I know, like, as soon as I ask this question, everybody's going to have the right answer because we're in church, and you just have the right answer. It's like in Sunday school, you know, the teacher, you know, asks, you know, the good little Sunday school students, you know, like, you know, I don't know, some question, you know, who loves you? And it's like, Jesus. And it's like, yeah, that's the right answer, you know. And you may not feel that, but you know that's the right answer. And so, and that drives me crazy. I hate that. And so I know you're going to have the right answer in your mind when I ask this question, but I want you to then, like, dive into your own heart and your own thoughts and your own feelings, and I want you to then think, but is that true in my life? Like, is that just the right answer? That I'm like, oh, I'm a good little message person, of course, it's Jesus. But no, like, but is that true? Like when you walk out the doors and tomorrow and the next day, like, is that really true, that the answer that you really have? And so my question is is this message the greatest thing ever to you? Right? It's like, hey man, there's one right answer to that question. It's the greatest thing ever, right? Like, preachers get up and talk about how amazing this thing is. But then I'm like, so then if it is, and then if I were to ask you how it was the greatest thing ever to you, and you weren't really able to answer that question, then is it?
That's good.
So have we dove into what we've been given enough to recognize where it impacts our life on a deep and tangible, let's say, level. Because that's what we want, right? So like, how many, like, so maybe another question would be, like, how many, like love, like love to serve the Lord within the context of this message? Like, you just love everything about, like, how we have holiness standards. And I just love to do that. It's amazing. It's so much fun. Like, I think it's the best way to live for me. And I'm like so super convinced that even, you know, if the church was taken away, I'd still live that way because I'm just so convinced it's the greatest thing ever. Yes. Like, are you happy serving the Lord? I had been thinking about the sermon, and this is already way different from that sermon back then. But we were in Pennsylvania, and I with Brother Sanger's group, and we were driving down the road, and there's so many Amish in that area. And so we're just, you know, we're driving around the country roads and all the dairy farms in Pennsylvania. There's no, like, hey, get on the interstate and go. It's just country roads through dairy farms and Amish land and things like that. And you can, you know, buy a barn or a chair and, you know, goat milk, cheese, and things like that all over there. And so we're driving along, and so you're seeing all the Amish people come in their buggies with their horse, you know. And my wife just, like, after you've seen this enough times, you know, my wife's just like, Are any of the Amish happy? Like, have you ever seen a happy Amish person? You know, now, so there's some ex-Amish people in Brother David Sanger's church. When I was preaching this and first asked that question to a congregation, and the sister that was ex-Amish, she's like, yeah, like, she started getting happy, which meant she's not Amish anymore. But anyway, but like, so it's, so I don't think I'm offending any Amish people, I hope, today. But like, because you see them, right, and they're just in the, just, you know, and I was thinking, like, well, it's like cold, right? And you're in a buggy behind a horse. Like, why would you be happy? I don't know, you know. But to think about it, it's like, hey, when's the last time that you saw us, that you saw an Amish person just like, so glad I'm Amish. Yeah. This is the most amazing thing ever. And then you, it's like, well, wow, that's easy. You know, it's like, yeah, I would not be happy being Amish, you know. Talk about that cold behind the horse thing. Like, that doesn't sound great to me. I don't think I'd like that. And then, you know, power. Power makes the air conditioner work. You know, so I'm like, it's so grand to be a message believer. So, but anyway, but not just because it's not Amish. But you, so you begin to think, like, right? Like, okay, have you seen that? But then you have to begin to ask yourself, but wait a second, am I happy as a message believer? Or is there laws that I do as a message believer that I'm really not happy about at all? And I just, you know, and so, and I'm in my message buggy equivalent of an Amish buggy, and I'm going down the road. Then, and I'm not smiling because I'm truly not happy, because I've never connected what the Word of God is truly expressing in my own heart. And all it is just a bunch of stuff external to me that is just really making me do things that I don't know if I want to do them or not. Right? So are you, like, has this word become the source where you recognize this is the source of happiness? This is the source of joy. This is the source of love. And it's like, well, that's a lot to say, Brother Trevor. And I would say to you, but then as you listen to the Word of God, as you listen to tapes, and as you read the Bible, as Brother Branham says in this same message, if you don't see Christ in every line, then you should go back and read it again. And so maybe we're living in a day of 2025 where we've got to step back and say, you know what? I've learned all of these things and I've learned the doctrines. But if I'm sitting here unhappy, I would say to you, you haven't heard Christ in those tapes. You haven't seen Christ on every line. Because if you saw him, you would see that he that is, that how great is our God. You'd look and see in the Word of God, and you'd read the book of Nehemiah, and you'd go, how great is God? How great are the things that he's writing here? Because I'm beginning to see his heart streaming, coming out of that page and quickening in my life and going, you know what? He is good. And what he's done for them, he'll do for me. Amen. And the things that he wants are, and so the kingdom of God becomes within you. Yeah. You see, God isn't just desiring that, hey, look, I've got this word, and I want you to do all these things. And then, if you go through all of that persecution of the Christian walk enough, on the last day, you'll have your reward. But as God, I just can't be giving you any reward right now. Like, walking with me is going to be like an Amish person in a buggy. And you won't be happy to walk with me. But one day, at the last day, then you'll be happy to be with me. But as you walk your Christian walk, there's no happiness for you. It's your trial. It's your purging. Get all the world out of you. Makes you unhappy. But don't worry. It's all good. There's a reward at the end. Some people are nervously chuckling because it's like, oh, wait. I hate it when Brother Trevor does that. He's like, wait, no, don't read my thoughts back to me. I don't like it. It's not fun. And then you have to ask yourself, how does he even know? It's like, me? You know, my own heart has tried to say these things, right? So God, that's not the idea. So God is trying to express Christ. And as he's expressing Christ, then we're going to see the kingdom of heaven is within you. Which is to say that all that is Christ, all that is his desires, his heart, his emotions should be growing and taking place in your own heart. So that as you're walking, you are walking with the thoughts and the feelings of Almighty God himself. Yes. Now that's cool. Yeah. Like, yeah, I want that. Yeah. Like, if that's my Christian experience, sign me up. Yeah. You know, I don't want to be message Amish.
Sure.
But I do want Christ.
Amen.
And I want the revealed Christ, kingdom of heaven living inside of my heart. So God isn't just promising that you'll feel great later. Why would he withhold any good thing from his people now? Right? So let's look at this scripture, John chapter 13, unless you've already closed your Bible. Because I started talking. Look, John 13, verse 33. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Now, you can't do that unless you have him in your heart. Because that's what he's saying. As I've loved you, you go love one another. Right? So you're going to get him in your heart, and you're going to go and love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Why? Because you have what he had. So you do what he did. I don't believe for a moment he's saying, now look, I know you all are a bunch of sinners and you're not, you know, you're not born sinless like I was. Thank you very much. And but so you actually don't have in your heart the same things I have in my heart. And so for me, when I come and love you, it's just an expression of my heart. But for you, sorry, you don't have the heart of God. But I want you to model your life without my heart in the same way that I did things. So do you. That's not what he's saying. As I've loved, because why? Because I've loved because my heart is love. I've done these things. It hasn't been works because it's just been me expressing who I am. And so Jesus is saying, I want you to have me inside of you because I'm going to go away. And then I'm going to come back, and then I'll be in you, and you can express love in the same way I express love. I'm not asking you to do love works. I'm asking you to have love and let it be expressed, right? So the kingdom of heaven can be within you. Praise the Lord. Verse 36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, saying, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Going on into John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Okay, so first he starts out and says, where I'm going, you can't come yet. You can't come. And Simon's like, hey, but we want to come. Like, if you're going somewhere, I mean, we are your followers. Followers follow. You're going somewhere, we want to come. Jesus is like, you can't come yet, but you know where I'm going. So has anybody, if you were there, like put yourself in the disciples' shoes here, like you're Peter, you're Thomas. Thomas is my man in this one, like not the doubting verses, but this one, like I'm like, yes, Thomas, go ahead and ask it. That's the next verse we haven't read yet. But like put yourself in the disciples' shoes. Like Jesus is like, I'm going away. You can't come. Peter's like, hey, want to come? Why don't you let me follow you? He's like, yeah, you just can't come yet. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. And whether I go, you know. No. No, we don't know. No, you have not been clear. And this is why I say, verse 5, Thomas is like, yes, Thomas, thank you for being honest. You know, everyone else was sitting there going, oh, yes, Jesus, that's very good. And Thomas is like, looking around. This is my dramatization, right? I don't know that this is actually what happened, but this is just where my mind goes if I'm putting myself in the situation that everybody else is going, yes, Jesus, that's... And Thomas is like, I don't know. I got nothing here. So, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Like, Lord, are you going to Jerusalem? If you know, if you're tell us you're going to Jerusalem, we know because we've been there. We got a map. We know how to get to Jerusalem. But you haven't told us where you're going. Are you going to go to Nazareth? We can, you know, we'll follow you later. That's fine. We know how to get there. But you're saying we know where you're going and how to get there. And I don't know where you're going, Jesus. You have not spoken that yet. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. So now we back up and we zoom out, and what is he saying? Where is he saying? In my Father's house. I'm going to my Father's house. I'm preparing a place for you. There's many mansions. I'm going to go prepare some for you, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to bring you unto myself. We're going to be together. So you'll come later. And so what he's saying is, it's like I'm going back to God. I'm going to sit on the throne again. And you can't come now, but you're coming later. And so the question is like, wait, how do we get, like, so you're going back to the throne. You're going back to God. Like how do we get there? There's no map. And Jesus says, I am. Yeah. I am the map. I love how many times in Scripture Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and I am. And I always feel like he pauses every time, you know, because the whole I am that I am from, you know, that mountain that I can't think of in my back of my mind, you know, where he got the Ten Commandments. Sinai, thank you. I knew it wasn't Moriah, but that was the one that was trying to come out. And it's like, I am that I am. And so I just feel like Jesus was always like standing in front of the Pharisees, is like, I am the light of the world. Just to like punch that in. Anyway, side note. So Jesus is like, I am the way. You want to know how to get to God? You want to know how to get to that place? It's me. I'm the map. Who I am is the way to get there. Who I am. All that I am is the way. And so now, okay, so he's saying, I am the way. I'm the way to get there. And I am the way, the truth, the life. No man can come to the Father. That's the destination, is to the Father, to God. No man can come there except by me. I am the way. So now we back up and we begin to say, well, what we've talked about so far is in Christ's mystery of God revealed is that God had an idea to express himself. And so he begins to express himself, and he wants to express himself completely in Christ. And this is before anything is created yet at all. And so what he begins to do then is he says, let there be light, and a logos is expressed. And Brother Branham teaches us that was the expression of God. And by that, everything was made. That logos then began to brood over the earth. So that logos was the spirit form expression of God. But the reason that logos was expressed was because God was God. He was Elohim. He was self-existent one. There was no, as we use the word tangibility, there was no spiritual tangibility to God. He just was. And there was no way to contact him or him to really contact anything else. So he expresses himself in spirit form. So what was that spirit form? That was Jesus Christ in spirit form. Are we together? This is what the prophet teaches us. Okay, so this one's easy for us because we think about, okay, what everything that was in the mind of God. So before God created anything, before the foundations of the world, was God great? Yes, okay, good. Was God amazing? This wasn't a trick question here. It's okay. Was God amazing before the foundation of the world? Was God love before the foundation of the world? Everything that we know about how amazing and wonderful God is, he was before the foundation of the world. Right? But how did we know that? We didn't. There was it hadn't been expressed. There was no that he was that. And so then he expresses himself as the Logos and then begins to brood over the earth. He begins to create, and he begins to create stars. And we begin now there's things that we can see. He's now has elements that he's put in there, and he's created beauty so we can begin to know that there's an intelligent mind there that has a plan and that has an eye for beauty and an eye for design, eye for detail, eye for all of these things. Oh my, isn't he amazing? And he's got fish and whales and mosquitoes for some reason, and all kinds of amazing things, right? And he puts this whole world, and they were perfect when he created them somehow, and all of this, right? And so we begin now, there's an expression that is now more tangible to be able to be seen and related to. And so as God begins to express himself as a Logos, he's still wonderful. He's everything he's ever been. Great and mighty. Love, peace, hope, joy, all of those things wrapped up into, the ultimate package. That's who he was. And so then he expresses this Logos, and then that Logos begins to create the world, and we begin to see elements and glimmerings of the tangibility of who he always was. Right? But then in 4 BC, an angel comes along to Mary and says, you're going to have a son. And she says, be it unto me according to your word. And 9 months later, a little baby boy comes out and is laid in a manger. And this is now God expressed. And so before the foundation of the world, God was everything he always has been, but we couldn't see it. Like, it was like, yeah, I know, but it was like we could look off into the, vastness, and it's like, I know there's something out there that's amazing. Right? And then he expresses himself in a spirit form, and you can now see a little bit, you can and feel like there's an amazingness out there, the picture is now clearer. It's a higher resolution of who God was before the foundation of the world. Are we together now? Start thinking about like a photo and resolution, right? And you get a new phone every few years, and it has an amazing resolution compared to the one before, and as if we ever even needed that. But God is saying, I'm going to give you the highest resolution of who I am that you can possibly see. And so then he expresses Jesus Christ. And as Jesus Christ straps on his sandals and begins to walk the shores of Galilee and begins to walk through Judea and into Jerusalem, God, the resolution, the clarity of who God was has now come in its brilliance and its starkness, and the lines are perfect and there's no shadows, and you can't even drill down to find the squares of the pixelation if you understand, how to zoom into a photo, and you get far enough in, there's little squares and it begins to get fuzzy. Like, the more you zoom into who Jesus Christ was, the more you see a picture of God. It doesn't get like what you're looking at now is a bunch of squares, but the deeper you dive in, the clearer that picture is getting. And so in the message of grace, Brother Branham begins to tell us of an experience that he had. And this is why this message is so important, because he begins to tell us an experience he had. He's in the woods and he sees these rainbows and he hears God speak out to him that Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. And what's that telling us is that God before the foundation of the world has now come in its brilliance of clarity and resolution. And so now he is the same one. So the one that was there from all eternity has now become completely expressed. God expressing himself completely in Christ. Amen. So you want to know what God, you want to know like until he was human, well, is God love? Well, yeah, well, I mean, how do you know? Well, I think maybe God is like a big hug. Like, he loves like a big hug. And I think maybe that would be right, because I think that's how God would love. And maybe you would think, well, have your parents been a little bit on to you lately? But they do it because of, they love you. Yeah. And so you might be just like, well, I think that God loves and he chastens and he rebukes those that he loves. And so he could see that, and he could see, he could feel like it's this big hug, and he could feel like it's this correction, and right? But it's still, it's like, how do you know? Like, it's still just like, well, I just think so. I just have this feeling, right? But then God comes and inhabits a man. He comes as a flesh man, and he smacks you, and he hugs you, and says like, yep, see? Everything you thought, but now it's perfectly expressed. And then he hugs you and smacks you, and like, you get the whole picture of love. Right? But you found that in Jesus Christ. Right? And so now you see all that he is, all that he has ever been from before the foundation of the world is now become human and is expressed to humans in the way that they can see and understand a God can come and be human. And what does that love look like as a human? Well, Jesus Christ. What does that hope look like as a human? Jesus Christ, right? So he's beginning to express who he is, and he creates a body to do that in. Is this good? Are we together, right? So then we can begin to see Christ in every line and every page. And so when Thomas says, Lord, we're supposed to go to God, no idea how to get there. And Jesus says, I am the way. Who I am. Not just what I am, but who I am. The essence, the emotions, the thoughts that create the actions that I'm doing as a human. That's who I am. Right? That's who you are. Is your thoughts and your emotions begin to be expressed, right? But God is saying, I want to come on the inside of you, and I want to begin to mold your characters. I want to begin to change you. I want to begin to correct you and love you and hold you, because there's times that you're hurting and you need holding love, and there's times you're being an idiot and you need correcting love, and there's times you need a friend and you just need friend love to understand what you're going through. And Jesus Christ is every single one of those. And if you begin to read through the scriptures and you begin to say, God, let me see you in every line of this scripture, you begin to read and you go, Lord, I'm feeling like I need a friend, and the Holy Spirit is going to direct you as you open the pages of your Bible, and you're going to begin to read as Jesus is walking along with the disciples and recognize he has shown how he is a friend. And if he was a friend then, he is a friend now. Amen. And you'll begin to see not just that Jesus Christ is the theme of the entire Bible. Praise God. Amen. It's a quote. Principal theme of the entire Bible. Same message if you wanted to read it. But anyway, you know, and you could say, oh, aren't I a good little message person? And you're smiling, not smiling, like an Amish guy. And you can, like, hey, if you want that existence, go ahead. Like, but why? When there's so much of the heart of God sitting there on the table for you to take and partake of and let it fuse into you and mold you and change you. But here's the idea, friends, is we didn't know this until this day. This picture, this plan was not yet fully expressed. We didn't have the revelation of it. But now you have the revelation of it, because before you were like, well, is God a friend? Well, yeah, he's kind of friendly in Jesus. But as the Father, he's not too friendly at all. And so then you're like, well, does God love me or hate me? Because Brother Branham was there himself. Right? Used to think God hated me, Jesus loved me. I began to find that Jesus Christ was the very heart of God. Christians didn't know this. We didn't know this because the devil had gone in and confused everything, and we just thought going to church and paying your tithes or rosary beads, you know, and you could be an Amish person, you know, just unhappy because there's no heart of God in it. It's just works, and you're just waiting for the reward sometime in the future if God ever actually fulfills his word. And you haven't been brought into the light of the revelation to see that there's like so much word that's just like that has been expressed and fulfilled in your day, that to doubt that the future, the things that are yet to be manifested, it's like it's crazy to think it's crazy that we would ever doubt it, because we've seen so much of it fulfilled just in the last 50 years. And then to recognize, okay, so if he is that, then he is good and he is one. And so how he expressed God, how he expressed himself in Jesus is how he feels about me. Yeah. the way Jesus would feel about me, the way he would feel about me is the way he has always felt about me from before the foundation of the world. Because now what we're seeing is the same heart from the foundation of the world expressed in high resolution. Right? And so now we can see what God's heart for us throughout all eternity. So it's never been a change. It's always been consistent. There's never been a day when God was like, I can't wait for you young people to just get it right. Get on the program. You know, stop your sinning. And, you know, you husbands, you know, you quit, you're running around and you're doing stupid things. And you wives, you know, you quit this. And, you know, we can just, man, wow, we can just go to town on everybody's lives, and we can talk about movies and internet and social media and your Netflix addiction. And are you still watching? Because Netflix wants to ask you that every now and then. And, you know, and we could preach on all of that. And we could make you a bunch of Amish message people, unhappy, but at least you have a long beard. Praise God, everybody's got the same haircut and beard. Good. Good. That way we know you're all spiritual. No. This is not the word of God. This is not the point of this message. This is not, it is not to just conform to a specific standard, but have no heart. That was never the idea from the foundation of the world. Who Jesus Christ was always the point. It was always what he wanted for you. And the very fact that he expressed Jesus Christ and could tell you in Revelation, I can't wait for the tabernacle of God to be with man. Then what? Then in the church age book, he says his very existence is for his own. That means from before the foundation of the world, that idea that was in the back part of God's mind was like, I want to express a people who I can live with and love and have fellowship with. That means that's what this whole thing has been about. Amen. The whole time. Amen. And I was talking to a brother from Sweden just last week, and we were talking, he had some questions on Godhead, and he had great questions, and we began to just discuss it, and he began to realize that, like, as he begins to see, you know, what's going on in Eden, you know, and I loved what Brother Barry said Friday night. He pointed out, like, Adam's first words. This is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. The first words we have recorded, spoken of by a man in the Bible, who, as we said, the whole Bible is trying to show us one specific goal. So then the first words that men ever said, the context of those words were, I'm in love with this person, and I'm connected with her. Woo! You think that's just happenstance? No. This is God communicating and expressing a thought that the whole purpose is so that I could live with you. And so then your life here, what I'm doing is I'm wooing you. And as I'm wooing you, I'm also giving you of myself that it becomes a part of you so that when, you know, I don't want, look, some of you feel like, you know, I'm just bad at this. I'm not too good at living this lifestyle. It's not a lifestyle, but you understand what I'm saying. It shouldn't be a lifestyle. And some of you all are like, I'm just terrible at this. And in a sense, God could be like, yep. Yeah, you're not so great at it yet. Yet. But I want to live with you anyway because I see the potential inside of you. Right? And so I see your potential. I see what's inside of you. So, but I want to live with you at your fullest potential. And that's kind of what this marriage conference thing we just had yesterday was kind of about. It's like, you know, you're kind of bad at this sometimes. But you have great potential, and that's why I married you. So we're going to work on each other's potential so that we can achieve this really great union and this great fellowship where we understand one another and we value one another and we've grown and we're closer to one another. And so this is exactly what God is doing with your life right now. He's saying, look, I see your potential. But I need you to go through some of these things so that you can see where you're not living up to your potential. You see, that's what this marriage thing is kind of about. You know, it's like you get married so that you can see your flaws because you just didn't see them before. You know, you had rose-colored glasses on every time you looked in the mirror at yourself. You saw yourself through rose-colored glasses. I'm a pretty good guy. And then you get married and you're like, I am such a jerk. Wow. And says, well, hey, isn't that what's happening right now? Is that we are married, we are union with Christ, and we're recognizing through some of the dumb things that we do, Lord, I am such a jerk. I want to get better because I want to live with you for all eternity, and I don't want to be a jerk when I live with you for all eternity. So Lord, help me. Like, let's do some marriage weekends, Lord, so that you and, praise God. Like, let's have a marriage retreat with Jesus sometime. Come on, somebody, and say, God, I need to work on this, God. I need you to help me see these things and how it makes you feel, because I don't ever want you to feel like I've hurt you throughout all eternity. So Lord, help me to get through this now.
Amen.
Yeah, so your whole life, it's just a marriage weekend. This is the mind of Christ. This is what God has always wanted for you. And you think, well, I just fail. Like, I don't know why. I'm just a failure. I can never do anything right. It's like, well, what I'm saying to you is that you're not seeing the heart of God. You're seeing it that the king, you think the kingdom of heaven is just out there, but what Jesus is saying is the kingdom of heaven is within you. I am trying to grow the kingdom of heaven within you. My heart, my desires, my love, my peace, all that makes me, I want to grow inside of your heart. But before in this last day, you could have that. I had to send a messenger to restore all that I was. So that you could see me clearly, because you had a skewed vision and you were trying to be like me, but you were trying to be like your skewed vision of me. And I had to correct that and show you the greatness of who I am first and reveal to you all that I am in its truth and its plainness and its openness, so that you could see who I was. And so I'm desiring you. Would you hear the word of God in your day? Would you get into the word of God to see all that he's trying to express to you? Because now it's been opened. Now he's come, as Revelations 10:1, and displayed himself. The mighty God is unveiled before you to see who he is. This is the point. I'm going to come and take a bride. Would you be that bride? Well, then dive into who I am. Can you imagine? Like, yeah, we're going to get married someday. Oh, well, I mean, you spending any time together? No. You know, what do you know about her? I mean, by reputation, seems like an amazing person. Do you think you might? Nah, we already promised to ourselves to one another. We'll just wait. You know, my son's getting married March 29th. Can you imagine? Like, I mean, hey, you gonna talk to your fiance for the next month? Nah, I got the general idea. Is this what we do to Christ? Some of us say, I'm going to marry him, but man, me and his fiance, I just don't enjoy it. So what I would tell you is you haven't met him. You've just heard about him, but you haven't come to a place where you met him. You see, to be a Christian is when he's identified himself in you. On that note, we should continue on into 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. First Corinthians 13, verse 9, for we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, there's a lot of flipping going on. I'll wait for a moment here. I thought that would taper off a little bit. Okay. When that which is perfect, verse 10, then that which is perfect to come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. So I love this last part. Then I shall know, even as also I am known. So if it was like, if it just said then I'm going to know. you'd be like, well, what does that mean to know? It's like, I could have all the information. I could generally get it, you know. What was the word I learned last night just to be relevant to the young people? You know, I was clocking that, you know. Did I use that right? Probably didn't. Okay. So me and Ben could laugh at how much we're dorks. So was I anywhere close? Yeah, I was. Yeah, good. I'm so relevant. That's great. Anyway, did you get that? Did you?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't until yesterday. Anyway, so we can understand it, right? Like we can know it, but that's different, right? Like we talked yesterday about intimacy, and that's a different kind of knowing, right? There's more personality there. There's more like understanding. There's a knowing. There's a listening that's a two-way thing. Like, yeah, I can know. I can hear it. But if no part of me has communicated that I understand the message that you're saying, then I don't really know. And there's no way that you would know that I know. It's just information in my head. But it says, even as also I am known. And that I am known, like I'm known of you, means you don't just know Trevor Emond exists and has blonde hair. It's no, we get him. He's got a sense of humor, and he, you know, whatever it is that you think about me, I probably don't want to know those things, and you know, unless they're the good things, and then that's fine to tell me. So, right, and so I'm known, but I will know even as I am known, and so what I'm hearing from that is that the more I know, the more I experience God, the more I understand who He is, the more I understand who I am. In relation to Him, I understand who I am. And so the more I know God, the more I know who I am. Do you have anxiety? Do you have problem? It's like, whoa, he just changed something. Like, you know, whoa, that came out of left field. But like, well, why do you have anxiety? Because you don't know who you are. You don't know your purpose. You don't know. But the more you come to know who he is, the more you know who you are. And that anxiety flies away because there's a safetiness there. There's no need to have anxiousness. There's no need to be troubled because isn't that what Jesus said in John 14, chapter verse 1? Let not your heart be troubled. That's for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. What that means is that I'm in love with you, that I want you. I'm preparing for us to be together. That means you're my bride. So there's no reason for you to be troubled. Now, we don't take that and say, oh my goodness, the preacher just said I'm the bride of Jesus Christ. And so now I'm, because the mere fact I was in the congregation when the preacher said you are the bride of Christ, I can just have a Jericho march and I can go home and it's like, man, that was amazing. Who are you? I'm the bride of Jesus Christ. And what I would say to you is, good job having the right answer, but you still don't feel it. You're still an unhappy Amish person in a buggy. It's just a message buggy. It's true, but you should know it. And when you begin to know who he is, and the reality of it is, Revelations 10:1 did happen. He did come to unveil himself to me. And now I see him. And the more I'm seeing him, the more I recognize I am his bride. He did die for me. He does desire me. He does want me to be part of his life. He does want to mold his character. And so the safetiness comes there. Like I'm stable. I'm with him. Like I don't have to worry. Because I know who he is. And as I know who he is, that means I know who I am. Because as I begin to know who he is, what I begin to see is that from the foundation before the foundation of the world, in the back part of God's mind, I was there. Amen. I was part to become part of that expression of the ones who would come to fulfill the longing in the heart of God for fellowship and to dwell with man. And when you begin to see that Jesus Christ has always been that and has always desired a people, like now it's like, well, of course he died for my sins because he knew I couldn't take care of that problem. But it was always in his heart to provide everything I would need. so that he could have that fellowship with me. And I don't have to worry about my sins because he paid for them.
Amen.
I don't have to worry about my mistakes because I'm in the marriage conference.
Amen.
And he's revealing these things to me. So all I have to do is come and read and listen and hear and listen. Like, not just hear, but like, let him know, hey, I'm hearing what you're saying. And too many of us are saying, yeah, I hear you. You want me to take the trash out? Let me do it in an hour. And sometimes young people are saying, Lord, I hear you. You want me to get the trash out of my life, but I just give me an hour or 10 years. But I want to be happily married to you in the future. Well, why wait? Like, why wait to have an amazing relationship with Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Why wait for the future? Why wait for the millennium? Like, let's just do it now. If he's going to be that amazing in the millennium, that means he's that amazing now. And the most amazing, wonderful, loving, faithful, peaceful, amazing person is desiring your fellowship. And you're like, yeah, I mean, that means you don't know who you are yet. But to the degree you begin to learn who he is, you begin to see, wow, I am someone of value. That's good for young people in this day, right? I am someone of value. Instagram doesn't tell you that. Doom scrolling doesn't tell you you're someone of value. Be Real doesn't tell you you're someone of value. We can just recycle the next 20 years of technology. It doesn't tell you you're someone of value. Yeah. But there's one place that you find that. And you're going to find that in Jesus Christ. Because then I know even as I am known. And he knows you and you know him. And you find your identity. And that's where we come back again to Christ as the mystery of God revealed. And he says, and where he told us that that just to say I'm a message believer. Well, you can be in your message buggy with your beard and whatever it is, but it doesn't mean anything, and you can be unhappy. But when it's Christ identifying himself in you, I am known as the bride of Jesus Christ. I have his identity of who I am. Now, so we can just reiterate this here now. First, to express himself completely. He's done that now. The resolution, Jesus Christ, he's expressed completely. God in Christ is the complete expression. Second, to have the preeminence by this in his church, which is his body, the bride, till he could have the preeminence to express himself through them. So now he's wanting you to carry on his mission and his work and his goal. He's inviting you to walk the same journey that he is walking. He's not asking you, hey, go do stuff. I'm going to sit back here and, you know, no, he's in you to work with you. You've got, what that means is you've got the same vision. You've got the same goals, right? And again, similar in a marriage. If you have two visions, the unity isn't really, really great. But when you begin to have the same vision and the same goals, that's when this marriage is, it's going good now. That's wonderful. So that's what God is saying, like to have the preeminence to express himself through them. Let's have the same goal and the same vision. And so thirdly, to restore the kingdom to its rightly position that fell with the first Adam back to where he walked in the cool of the evening with his people and talked with them, fellowship with them. And so then what is that? That's now we're together, physically together. And now the whole plan of redemption, the whole idea that was in the back part of God's mind comes to its total manifestation. And God wants you to be part of that. So he's inviting you into that now. And to do that, he sent you this message. And this message was that final proclamation of who he was. And so you can't see him perfectly without this message having shown you who he is, because it was God chose to do this in Revelations 10:1. And the seventh angel is standing on the earth at Revelations 10:7 is standing on the earth at the time that angel comes down in 10:1. As Christ comes down to reveal himself, he gives those seals down to the messenger who's standing there. What is that? That's revealing Christ to you in this day. That's the way God chose to do it. So again, who does that make you? that you could even hear that, that you could even understand that that was God doing that. And then now you can dive in and see who he is and know he's not three, but he's one. Wow, amazing. And so you begin to see that this was the whole idea the whole time. And then that, wow, here we are. So unveiling of God, how God could have mercy on foul sinners as us when he hid himself was a mystery. And now it's in plain view or in full view, revealed by his word. It's always the word constantly that is God. It's the word that opens it up. If those people would have known the word of God that day when Jesus died, they would have seen the mercy seat. They would have seen who he was. Do you want to see who he is? Look in the word of God. You see, this was what's always been tried to be expressed. And you know, preachers throughout the ages, since throughout the decades, maybe is a better word, since Brother Branham, you know, have said, oh, it's the word. And then all of us are like, yeah, it's the word. Like, and what we meant by that was like, we're not Pentecostals. And it's like, yay, go us. Like, but no, what it always meant, what it always at least should have meant was like, it's the word. It's the expression. It's the declaration. And in that, you will see who he is so that when he comes, you'll be like, are you seeing what I'm seeing? Because that looks exactly like I think he should look. That looks, he looks exactly like I know him already. And now that's him. Right. Oh, that's him. And the prophet's going to come back with the saints through the ages. And he's going to say, that's him. And we're going to be like, yeah, I knew it. I'm going to be with him. And I've already got that resonance with him. I already know him because I know who I am and I know who he is. And it's like he came and it's just, and now it's just perfect. And that's what this word is about, so that we would know who he is. So if you ever thought that this word was just trying to make a message Amish out of you, you missed the expression of who he is. That was never the point. It was always, always, ooh, she is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. He's wonderful. So the progression now is fully seen. All the power of God, all the emotion of God, can we say even all the humanity of God is fully expressed in Jesus Christ. And isn't that amazing? You think, well, does God have humanity? And so I would just say, well, where did you get humanity? What's our concept of humanity? And if you were to search the internet for, you know, great expressions of humanity, you would see people doing brave, daring feats to save an old lady who's running, you know, walking across the street and a car's about to get there, or a cat out of a tree, or it's like, wow, what an expression of humanity. When what that means is that they had the choice to put themselves into danger for that person. You see, now a dog might go and save somebody, but the dog never sat there and went, I might die. If I jump in that river and save that drowning kid, I might die trying to do that. Do I want to do that? I don't know. No, the dog just by instinct sees that. He's got a nature inside of him that just goes and does that. But humanity, oh, you have the choice. You have the choice. And so now it's bravery because you're aware of the consequences of your own actions. And so where do you get that from? Where did that choice come from? Where did that ability to have bravery? Where did all of those things that we say, oh, wow, that's humanity. That came from God. That came from him. Why? Because to express himself fully was to express himself as God in Christ, as human. So the humanity of us, the greatness, we would say, the goodness, the potential, let's say, of our human nature, all came from him. It was cursed, it was tainted after the fall. But that's who God is restoring us to be. The kingdom of heaven is within you. That potential to be brave, to be pure, to be holy, to be an expression of love, to be a someone with mercy, to be a peacemaker. All of those things wrapped up in who God is, now placed inside of you to identify himself inside of you for this great journey until our final dwelling together because the tabernacle of God is with men. And that's what this journey is about. That's what this message is expressing. That's what the prophet is bringing to us in a, I think it's a 3 hour and 45 minute message. And Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And it's like, ooh, deep stuff. It's like, it's an expression. It's saying, I love you. And this is who you are and what I've been doing throughout all of the ages. And in one sense, it's the simplest thing ever. In another sense, it's the most complex, great, amazing, plot-twisting novel you've ever read in your entire life. And you get through it and you're like, what a ride! I'm going to read it again. And I'm not even going to wait 4 years for me to forget. You know? We were talking that, about that on the way down. There's a Luke that a book that Brother Luke back there. They're from Hi, Brother Luke and Sister Stephanie from our church. You guys know them anyway. And but we were talking about this book, and he'll read it, like he reads it on audiobook or whatever, and he'll like go through it like every year. And it's like, okay, that's a little too often for me. Like, but I still forget. And then I'm like, wait, was that, now when this thing happened, what was that? And my son gets annoyed because I keep asking the same question about the same book that I, you know, and I, but I still, it's too early. I'll know the plot. But man, the Bible, you can know the plot and it's still amazing. As a matter of fact, the reason it's the more amazing, the more you know the plot, the more amazing it gets. Wow. How great is our God then? How amazing is this word, this expression of who he is, all that he has desired to bring to us. Musicians, why don't you come, please? So, God has always desired that the kingdom of heaven would be in you. He's never desired that you would just simply know things and try to act a certain way. He has always desired that the whole heart of God would be inside of you and express the right actions because you have the right heart and the right emotions. And so, today, when you get in your message buggy to go home, whatever that looks like, you can have a smile on your face. And if you don't, and you say, Brother Trevor, I don't know how to have a smile on my face in this message, and I would invite you to get to know Jesus Christ. I would tell you, you don't know who he is yet. All you know is things about him. But he wants you to know him as a person, as an individual that you can love. And that's what this message, as far as I can tell, is. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, you have expressed yourself mightily to us in our age and this day, Lord. You continue to express yourself in the hearts and lives of true believers, Father, filled with your spirit, filled with your own life, as they express you and as they grow in you. And Lord, there's many that we respect and we look up to because we see the success in the relationship, Lord. Father, I'm just reminded of a question that was asked yesterday, Lord, and where do we find good mentors? And Lord, I just see, I can look around, Father, and I can see that there are some that I look at and I go, Lord, it seems like they have a really good relationship with you. I want to get to know that person and see what they're doing right. See how they've got around different challenges in their walk with you, and maybe I can learn in my marriage with you, in my walk with you, Lord. And so, Father, we can see, Lord, there's growth and there's people that are starting. Father, we can see that there are those that are still in a honeymoon phase with you, and how we wish we all would just continue in that, Lord. But we also recognize there's maturity in love, Father, of a daily walk with you, Lord. But we can see there are others that are just excited about you and living with you, and how wonderful that is, Lord, and how we're like, oh man, we need that too. And so, Father, we can see people in varying places, but Lord, what we want to make sure of is that we are in that relationship with you, and that we see your word for it, for its expression that it is to us, what it means and how it's unveiling who you are, Lord. Father, we love you so much, and we want to know you more, Lord, and we're thankful you sent a prophet to us to that was the fulfillment, Lord, of you expressing this unveiling, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, reveal this word to our hearts, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that each believer here, Lord, would have a deeper desire, Lord, to grow in their relationship with you. And if there's some, Lord, who just don't know it yet, who've not come and met you in such a way that the world is fading away and the things that they used to think were amazing now, in comparison to having seen you, those things just become so vile. Oh God, may you speak. Lord, may your Holy Spirit just be here right now and in the living rooms and the homes, Lord, of those streaming and the wherever people may be. Lord, would your Holy Spirit, Lord, just take your word and visit the hearts of each person. Have an individual communion with each one, Lord. We love you, Lord. We want to worship you. We want to praise you, Lord. We're looking. Father, may the day come quickly when the tabernacle of God is with man. And we live with you in that new Jerusalem, in that new heavens and new earth for all eternity. Lord, that's the moment we're looking for and we're waiting for, Father. But for now, Lord, we're content. You've asked us to be your bride. We're engaged. We are your fiancé. And so, Lord, we're content because we're able to trust you. Trust you for the right time to bring us to your house. Because we know how good and wonderful you are, Lord. May we just walk with you and love you with all of our hearts. We pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Lord, I want to know you more. Deep within my soul, I want to know you. Oh, I want to know you. I give my final breath to know you in your death and resurrection. Oh, I want to
There's something about him. When you talk about him and you read about him and you quote him and you dwell a little bit in his presence and you just dwell near him, there's just something about this. It's not like any other book you read, because when you read this book, the author comes near and it stirs up something within us. And that stirring is the greatest treasure. It's the greatest thing you could ever have. Because, you know, you can get stirred up in a hockey game or stirred up in an arena of some kind or whatever else, entertainment. But there's just something real, something eternal about being stirred up by the presence of God. And it's just like a little confirmation that that's who I am. That's exactly right. I'm not putting that on. I'm not trying to be that. That's just who I am. And there's just something really beautiful about being stirred up. My hope is in the Lord. Let's sing that this morning here.
I stand in awe within the presence of the Lord.
Let's sing it now. Let's ring it out.
In whom the wisdom of the ages lies. For whom the raging of the sea subsides. The living sacrifice.
Offering of praise. How we thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You're all I want. You're all I'd ever need. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You're all I want. Let's sing it this morning. My goodness, I just love the word of the Lord. I love the, you know, you take such a broad thing as the message and God's entire plan and summarize it into about an hour. Would you come back and do it again? Because you could say all of that again, and you know, it'd still be rich. It'd still be something special. That's just wonderful. Draw me close to you.
Never let me go. I'd lay it all. are my desire. What else will do? And nothing else can take your place to fill the wonder of your grace. Oh, help me find the way. Bring me back to
sing it with me. We started with that this morning. We sang in the early part, you know, and I've been thinking about this question. Are message people happy? That's a great question. Because I know a lot of Amish people who aren't happy. And they're conformists. They've grown up in it. They dress like it. They act like it. But I've talked to some of them. We've been in Amish country many times in Ohio, and I've talked to many of them, and they tell you, I wanted to know a little bit about their beliefs and their doctrines and things like that, and they said, yeah, we follow the writings of John Ammon from the 1500s. And I said, you're still there? Oh, yes. And I like the old writings and the old literature and stuff like that, but things have moved on. You know, there's a lot of new stuff that's been made known, and I just gently tried to urge them out of that. Go to the 1600s at least, you know, something like that. No. I mean, he was offended. They didn't want to leave right there. And I thought, what a shame to be stuck and refuse help, you know, refuse a chain that'll pull you out of that and into something a little bit better. And they were stuck right there. And I came away feeling bad. And they're very sincere, but man, they're just kind of stuck back there somewhere. And to miss all that God has done since then. They're still reading out of the same German prayer books that John Ammon wrote back then. They just recite the prayers and so forth, and without inspiration, without the light, you know. And Jesus, you know, he said, "I'm the light of the world," and to be able to follow that light is a distant thing to them. How could you be happy in that kind of darkness back there? And I really felt for him. And when I left that conversation, I really felt for him, and I thought, wow, how sad. How sad that is. But you know what? I'm glad that we serve a living God. And how great is that God? We have no idea really how great is that God. But what's exciting is that God is interested in me. And that God wants to, develop the kingdom of God in me. And to see his life expressed through me. That has to be God. That's not me. That's God. And he wants to do it through you. And that's an exciting thing. How great is our God? We're going to sing this today, and we're going to wind down and let you go. Thank you, Brother Trevor, for being here, and Sister Eamon. It's just been a blessing to have you, and all you folks that have been here for the weekend. And Brian, good to have you back as well, and just all of you here today. And may God richly bless your week and be with you. Lord willing, we'll be traveling up to Canada, and Brother Aaron will be taking the Sunday service, and Brother Diggs will be taking Wednesday if we have service. And we just trust the Lord will bless you. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Been a good weekend, and we appreciate it. I wanted to say also, too, I appreciate Luke and Haley and all their work in the website and all the things they do for us and helping out. It's been just great to have everybody pull together. So may God bless you richly and be with you. And take this home and think about it. Just take home and take a portion of it. And when you get it all figured out, take the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed, and just read that again. I mean, that's just such one of the richest treasures of truth you'll ever find. How great is our God? Sing it with me. Brother Aaron, we're going to have you come and close in prayer. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great. See how great, how great is our God. Oh, the splendor of a king. He's clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice. All the earth rejoice. In cloud, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing me, how great is our God? How great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is
the bride in Christ are one. Uniting time has come. Soon we're going home. Soon we're going home. How great is our God. How great is our God. Oh, see how great is our God. Oh, yes, you're the name above. Jesus, you are worthy.
And our hearts for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this afternoon for inviting us to a table, Lord, where you gave us a more than a 5-course meal, more than a 7-course meal, Lord. We were, Lord God, drinking and eating with you at the table. Father, our souls are fed. We are rejoicing within our hearts. For we know that the devil cannot take our salvation. He cannot remove our names from the Lamb's Book of Life. But many times he tries to take away the joy of our salvation. He tries to take away the joy of this message. The joy of knowing that we are the elect and we are bound for the rapture. We thank you, Father, for reminding us, Lord, that no matter what we go through, whether it's sickness, whatever mistakes we can have, the greatest privilege, the greatest thing that ever happened to us was to see the light of this day. We thank you, Father, for Brother Trevor, Lord, for using him, Lord, putting him aside and just coming in your mighty power and breaking the bread of life. How we thank you this afternoon, Lord, for touching lives, oh God, and just bringing it to us, Lord, in a way that we understand. For Father, we know that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. For we know that the Bible says that the common man had him gladly. We heard you gladly this morning when you spoke to us. Father, we feel like those that were coming from Emmaus who said, you know, our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us along the way. Lord, may you restore the strength that has gone out of him. Give him more strength and give him more inspiration. Father, though we may be having a revival this hour and this moment, Lord, we want to remember, oh God, Brother Keith. Oh God, we want to remember the Smith. We want to remember the drums. Father, we know that you are not satisfied with 99, but you are always looking for that one that is away. Father, we know that though many of us are here, yet your heart is not happy if one is missing. Lord, we are one soldier short this afternoon, and our prayers, Lord, go to Brother Keith this hour, where we know that the enemy is pinning him down. But Lord, you said unto Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Bring him back, oh God. We are claiming in the name of Jesus, may the healing virtue of our Lord and Savior flow in his body. May you restore, Father, and bind up his broken wounds. Help him this afternoon. We pray for our pastor as he goes on his way to Canada. May you give him, Father, the utterance. May your spirit be with him. Strengthen his body, strengthen his neck, and heal his back. We commit him into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
He's a name above all names. He is worthy of our praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God. Oh, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God.
Oh, see how great.
Lord. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. Let's sing this as we go this morning. May God bless you and fellowship with one another. And we appreciate each and every one of you being here today. May God bless you as you go. There is none like you. Yeah.